You're listening to the Musical Ecology's Radio Hour. I'm your host, Dan Joseph, and once a month we bring you a mix of conversations and musical selections by artists featured on the Musical Ecology series in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I invite you to visit our website for more information on our artists and upcoming events at musicalecologies.net. For tonight's program, we'll revisit our event on Thursday, March 9th, with pianist and composer Teodora Stepančić. A native of Belgrade, Serbia, and currently based in New York City, Stepančić seeks works for the piano that speak in the voice of the outsider, a hushed voice that does not try to draw attention to itself, and that stresses generosity, attentiveness, intimacy, spirit, and focus. On this program, she performed a set of piano works by Asaf Gidron, Hollis Longdon, Tom Aldrich, and her own work for pianist and help performer. But we began the evening with a conversation about her work and background and her current life as a New York City resident. Let's listen now to my conversation with Teodora Stepančić at the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn.
So here we are tonight, and so welcome to the series, of course, and welcome to Brooklyn. So you're relatively recently arrived here, is that right? You're a resident now in Bushwick, Brooklyn, is that right? And when did you arrive?
A year and a half ago. It was October 2015.
Right. And you came here, I guess, most recently from the Netherlands, is that right?
Yes, I lived in the Netherlands for about almost 10 years. And it's very nice to be in a Dutch decorated house. And I decided to move here,
right,
to New York, right, to New Amsterdam.
That's right. Well, great. And so, what brought you to the Netherlands, I guess, was graduate studies. Is that right? At The Hague?
I studied piano and composition at the university in Belgrade.
Uh-huh. Right.
Where I originally come from.
Right.
And in 2005, I moved to The Hague to continue my composition studies.
Mm-hmm.
Piano, I graduated in Belgrade.
Right.
So
you did composition prior to your degree in composition at The Hague.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I'm sorry, in Belgrade, it was primarily piano or both?
I studied both at the university, yeah. I started with piano and then I enrolled in composition.
Mm-hmm.
Department,
right.
And I graduated piano. I didn't graduate composition at the University in Belgrade. I just continued my studies in The Hague.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you always been both pianist and composer, or did one begin and the other?
I always wanted to be both. I started playing piano very early, like the age of 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
In a music school. In Eastern European music schools are a bit different. It's like
mm-hmm.
conservatories. So a lot of things are very strict there, and there are exams every year. So it's very taken very seriously, maybe too seriously.
Right.
So I studied in the music school. I studied piano and other subjects, and I also did 4 years of theory department.
Mm-hmm.
Which was primarily making students able to enroll to the university, to composition department or musicology or conducting. Like without that department, it would be maybe a bit more difficult to enroll to these departments.
Right.
If you study only piano, you just go and continue studying piano, and then if you're on theory department, you can continue with composition studies and
mm-hmm.
conducting. So. Yeah, I was composing before
mm-hmm.
I started studying. I wouldn't call it. It was kind of, experimenting, mostly improvising on the piano. And then I decided to try it a little bit more serious.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of coincided with your moving over to the Netherlands, or was this early, even earlier than that?
No, I did 4 years of it's graduate studies or undergraduate studies, like bachelor degree?
Undergraduate.
Bachelor and master's, I don't know which one. So of composition, for composition department. I just didn't get my degree.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
I understand. Excellent.
And then I just went to several composition master classes around Europe, met people that studied in The Hague and became curious about that school, and then I just went there.
I see. No, yeah. I was going to ask how you found your way there. So it's just meeting, you know, just kind of hearing about it. Well,
yeah,
right. And so, so you did eventually land there. So how? I mean, how was it different from Serbia? From
it
Belgrade?
Was very different.
Yeah.
Yes. And Belgrade was much more strict, I guess.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Also, a little bit more old-fashioned.
Yeah, it sounds like you're describing it as very regimented, very by the books, right?
Yes, which is very nice because, like, we had a lot of, we got a lot of knowledge in like harmony, counterpoint, all those things were very, very strong.
Sure.
And The Hague was much more in like doing things and composing and performing and playing other people's music and trying to put together your own pieces. Working together with established ensembles and less established ensembles in mm-hmm. the Netherlands. Yes, and it was kind of really open for every sort of mm-hmm. experimentation. And there were like 60 students, I think, and they were from all over the world. And mm-hmm. some of them didn't have a background in music or mm-hmm. like such a strict background. Some of them were more improvisers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
it's a very diverse group of
yes,
students.
Yes.
And a lot of
a lot of, yeah, that's a very big department. And actually, all the composers that I'm playing tonight are studied there with me.
Mm-hmm. They were all students with you.
They were all students with me. Yeah.
I'm sorry, pardon my ignorance, but is this also the conservatory where Louis Andriessen was?
Yes, he was teaching there.
At the time that you were there?
He was retiring slowly. I was his student for 1 year, but he was still teaching at, he was only teaching at his house, so it was like once a month or twice.
I see. So I know many, many students from the U.S. have studied with him or did.
Yes.
I guess obviously that era is over. But so then all of those students that I'm familiar with who went to the Netherlands and did some studying with him were also at The Hague.
Probably. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. For sure.
I see.
A lot of students from the U.S. came specifically to study with Louis Andriessen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
it was not my first choice, but
right. And it also wasn't really an option ultimately. It sounds
Well, 1 year was enough.
One year
yes.
was enough.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, from what I gathered, I guess that was a rather active program there, at least in the period that Andriessen became well known and the sort of there was called a big minimalist kind of flowering of Dutch minimalism as far as and it's centered around I guess around this program is that right?
I think it yes the, there was a strong current of Dutch minimalist music when I studied there. Luckily, it was not only that; it was mm-hmm. much more diverse. There were
sure.
a lot of people doing really, really different things from mm-hmm. that. And actually, there were less and less of them composing in this style.
Sure.
As soon as actually Andriessen stopped working there.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
It was a very active program. There were a lot of student ensembles that emerged, that emerged from that school and then became professional ensembles, like Asko Schoenberg Ensemble, one of the most
the
famous.
Schoenberg Ensemble,
yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They were students at the conservatory
right.
many years ago, but
right.
That's how it started. And my ensemble, the ensemble in which I play in the Netherlands, also we started this group of students.
Right. What is the name? What is the group called?
It's called Modelo 62. Modelo 62.
Modelo 62, right. And so this is still a group that you're active with to some extent?
Yes, I try to go as much as I can to the Netherlands and play with them.
I see, so they're still based, the group mostly is based still in the Netherlands.
Yeah. People are moving away. I think actually at this point there are maybe 3 or 4 members that live in The Hague,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the rest is all over Europe, and I'm here, and our conductor and artistic director recently moved to Buenos Aires because he's from there.
Aha.
So we are now really
dispersed.
Yes.
Somewhat,
yeah.
But none of us doing concerts somewhat consistently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And what kind of repertoire is that group focused on, or if there is a focus at this point?
The focus is changing a little bit. It was focused always on younger generation composers, especially composers that we would collaborate with. But then we did concerts with Alvin Lucier music, with James Ennie, but also more kind of, we also did some Dutch minimalist music. So actually there is no real, focus is contemporary music and then trying to present all sorts of it and all
mm-hmm.
aspects of it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And has that group performed in the U.S.?
Not yet. No.
But potentially, yeah.
Potentially,
awesome.
Yeah. We collaborated a lot with Clarence Barlow, who teaches in Santa Barbara, I think.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he wrote several pieces for us, and we recently recorded his CD, and we were supposed to go to California in this tour, just never happened. It was just never enough budget. We are 11 people. It's a lot.
Wow, that is
a
lot. Yeah. So most of the pieces that you take on, including the whole group, or
yes, a lot of pieces were written for
all
the
of that
group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not always tutti. It's sometimes we have smaller ensembles, but a lot of pieces that we play are written specifically for us.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a big. What do we call an 11-piece ensemble? Is there a name for it?
I guess just ensemble.
An eleventet. I don't know. Does anyone know?
Octet.
Well.
So yeah.
Well, good. Well, so what? It sounds. I hope to get to hear the group at some point, but. At some point, though. Well, now I've come to know you and your work. Mainly in the context more of the, I guess what we would call the Wandelweiser scene, or at least the maybe ultra minimalist school. So at what point did you come into contact with Wandelweiser and become, I guess, to somewhat connected with that, with the more reductive style?
Yeah, it was in the Netherlands.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I started like composing in a more reductive style before I learned about Wandelweiser. But yes, in The Hague I met several people like Samuel Friesen and Jan Moskamphaus that are more connected to the group.
Right.
But I wouldn't call myself like, there are some certain similarities, of course.
Sure.
With my music, maybe with the piece that I will play tonight. I don't know if there are so many similarities. But
well, in your biography that you shared with me for, and that I think is still on your website, while it doesn't mention Wandelweiser, I think the language you use is somewhat reminiscent of that. I forget the exact wording. Perhaps you, I mean, you probably know
it.
But something about quiet,
focused.
Understated.
Yeah.
And so that seems to be, whether it's specifically connected with that community, it seems to be your aesthetic orientation seems to be somewhat in line with that, which is, I mean, I guess we've touched on most of the adjectives so far, but so that's still somewhat of your interest is a kind of a quieter music, an understated kind of aesthetic, yeah?
Yes, that, and also I'm also interested in like theatrical aspects of music, so I made I wrote a lot of pieces that are very visual, have a lot of visual aspects. They don't have videos or things, or sometimes they have, but where musicians also move on the stage and take some other actions or prepared instruments and things.
So
the, where the lighting is very composed. I compose like how the lighting is going to be, how the staging is going to be, and yeah. But yeah, music, the music itself, the sounds itself themselves are always sort of quiet, almost always.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this was just an sort of an organically developing thing within yourself that or was there some catalyst for it? I mean, obviously, as you said, you were already going in this kind of direction before you had any encounter with the Wanderlust composers, but what, you know, I mean, so let me just add, I mean, just to kind of imagine how it developed. I mean, so as a pianist in Serbia, in a strict kind of training, I'm assuming you're playing, you know, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart,
yes,
Schubert, Chopin, Brahms, or I don't know.
I played all of that. I did always like more to play pieces that were from 20th century on. I had to play classical repertoire, of course. It's and romantic and, but I always liked to. My preference were like starting from Debussy maybe, and then going further, and then especially studying composition, I played a lot of music by younger composers and also by my composition teacher there. And then in The Hague I played everything, all sorts of contemporary music that I could find. Wanderweiser, yeah, when I discovered the music, I thought it was incredibly beautiful and important, and I just started playing. Actually, my first concert where I played a lot of pieces by Wanderweiser composers was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. In Serbia, I made like a 6-hour-long concert where I put a lot of pieces, mostly from Wanderweiser collective, that I really liked.
6 hours? Wow.
Yes.
Continuous 6 hours?
Yes, continuous. Wow. I did it several times. The first time I thought I need a break, and then I told the audience, wow, I think let's make a 10-minute break. And then I went out and I really realized that if I stop, I will not continue. So I just came back and said, I'm sorry, I will just continue. And then I realized that it's much better to just
keep going,
play straight through. Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And so how many works were you able to?
I think there were
to pack into 6 hours.
It varied because some of them are quite long. I think it was about 15 works, maybe a bit more. Some of them were like really long, and some of them could be shorter. So I would make them shorter and then add another piece, maybe. Or sometimes I just felt like doing them longer and. I think it was about 15 pieces. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's quite an evening. So, and this was in The Hague. You know?
No, I did this concert twice in Serbia and once in Tel Aviv.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Tel Aviv. So Tel Aviv. So at some point you met Asaf, who is here with us, and who is your partner,
yes,
and who is also contributed piece, right? So is this how you ended up performing in Tel Aviv, or is that just coincidence? Or,
we organized this concert together, yes, but I performed in Tel Aviv many times before.
Oh, okay.
I met Asaf, yes.
I see. So you're really traveling around quite a bit.
Yes, I like traveling.
That's great. So in terms of your own compositions at this point, So where are your interests right now? I mean, you have a piece you'll be presenting tonight,
yes.
I guess I'm aware that there's, I mean, I've heard some of your other music ensemble music. I played in one of your pieces, in fact, not long ago. So it seems like you're exploring a lot of different directions, I guess still rooted in something of what we're just talking about, but still something different. So what are your interests as a composer right now, and where are they taking you?
So Let me start. So first of all, the piece that I'm going to play tonight is from 2012 or 11.
I see.
So it's not a new piece. And it's my only piano piece. I don't write really for piano solo. I'm always interested in chamber music or ensemble music, and also as a player, I'm more of a chamber player. I really like collaborating with musicians, and you will see that the piece actually includes another performer helping me to keep some resonances. So, well, I still have this interest in theatrical elements like implemented in music and exploring that. At some point my pieces became a little bit too big, so it was kind of a practical decision, because in the Netherlands I had a lot of possibilities to do different things. We had like a lot of facilities in the theaters, and I could do actually whatever I wanted. I could design lights, I could hang a cello from the ceiling and like let it go up a little bit, little by little. They could bring me a harp and I could do whatever I wanted with it. So it was really, I used all those resources that were there, and then I moved and those resources are not there anymore. So I, but anyway, I was already then starting to think smaller, like more kind of introvert.
Right.
So I started writing solo pieces for specific performers. I always like working with performers. My scores are not really like finished and written out, as you know, that I can just send it to an ensemble that I don't know and that they can play it. I always like to have a little bit of role of director, maybe. And I like to talk to them, to change things, to get ideas, and at the end I never finish the score, we perform it, so it's really, really nice. And then next time it's performed, then it's like the process starts all over again.
Right.
The
right.
main idea is there, the main sketches are there, but every person is going to do it differently. So that's one of very important points of my work, so working with
working closely with
closely
the
musicians.
But also the openness of the scoring, or I mean,
some scores are more open than the other. I mean, there is always free. There are always freedoms,
right?
And there are always things that are going to be changed, maybe. But some scores are really open. Some scores are like text scores, and
right.
some scores are less open. Some scores have just the timing that is precise, and everything else is free. And
right.
so it really varies from piece to piece. And I think that's it.
So that's where your composing is taking you at this time.
I'm trying to go back a little bit. To
back
yeah,
to
it sounds weird, but
back to Brahms or
no,
Debussy
not
or?
To Brahms. No, just to some earlier ideas that I had that were maybe a little bit more extreme than just a solo piece. And
I see, back more.
More into
more
theatrical, more back into like these theatrical aspects. But it really depends
on
the players that I have, on people,
sure.
on yeah.
So having now that you've been in New York for a year and a half, and I guess you were traveling back and forth here a little bit before that, as much as you're aware of it, what have been some of your discoveries here, what has changed here? I mean, apart from the fact that you have no resources, which is
this was not a complaint at all. I don't
well,
want to talk
it's
about
just
resources.
It's just a reality here.
This is
you know,
not
we don't have as much resource to work with. But apart from, I mean, that aside,
yeah.
I'm just wondering what's happening here for you in terms of your musical thinking, or how is the environment? What's happened here?
Well, what I really liked, what happened, is something that I was doing before, but somehow here it's even more, is that I really try to organize like it's mostly on me. I have to organize concerts myself, and I do it with Asaf. And wherever we go, wherever we travel, we always organize concerts. So the network of people is like now really big. Luckily, we have a lot of friends. And so I always had this I always had this drive to do things myself and organize. But you know, in the Netherlands, it was kind of for 10 years. I was playing a lot with ensembles, and everything was just there. It was like a job. And what I really like here is that you have to just take things in your hands and write and call. And also, it gives me freedom to create my own programs and to create my own things that I want to play, things that I want to work on. And that is really something nice. Now we are going to Argentina, I think I told you, with this ensemble Modelo 62, and we were supposed to play this opera there, and it was cancelled because of some government thing with money, but we already had tickets, so we are going there, and we just found, like, I just was for a week on emails and phones, and we organized like 6 or 7 concerts there. So I really like that, and it's also only going to be music that we really, really want to play. So it's better.
Excellent. Good. Well, so among the you do have a few projects that are going on now, right? I mean, like, for example, what do you call the project with you and Asaf have a project with Casio keyboards and
it's called Stepančić Gidron, our last name.
But this is a regular sort of, I mean, I've heard of at least once, I think, but it seems like a describe it again to all of us. I mean, it's a Casio keyboard. And
it's a Casio keyboard with delay pad with different effect pedals.
Right.
Now we have 2 Casio keyboards.
2?
Yes.
Okay, so it's
so it's becoming bigger. And Asaf is playing sine tones mostly, and some field recordings, and now we also have we are trying to implement a Korg synthesizer into that. So yeah, it's growing.
I see. So yeah. It's very electronic.
It's very electronic.
Electronic.
Yes.
Sort of drones and textures.
It's about textures.
But it's quiet. It's very quiet, as I recall. Yeah.
It is very quiet. Yes.
I think the performance I heard also included cello. Yes, is that right? One of the performances. You had a Lester on cello.
Oh yes.
Is that right?
Yes, we did one improvisation with him.
I see.
Yes.
I see. So that's a regular project, and then a lot of different concerts. Well, let's talk about.
And that was my conversation with pianist and composer Teodora Stepančić. The evening continued with piano works by 4 different composers. Let's listen first to Chords 4 by Tom Aldrich, performed by Teodora Stepančić at the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Chords 4 by composer Tom Aldrich, performed by Teodora Stepančić. And we'll conclude tonight's program with an excerpt from Stepančić's own work, For Pianist and Help Performer, performed with helper Asaf Gidron. Thank you. You've been listening to the Musical Ecologies Radio Hour. For more information, visit our website at musicalecologies.net.